You know, I was kind of surprised that Nancy left out some of the best part of her testimony concerning her recent health issues, okay? One of the things was that the doctor that came in to do the vascular surgery was a Christian, right? And he prayed with you before that, and... Yeah. So, you know, God speaks to us in many ways, and he allows us to have these encounters. And because of that, though, she shared with me that she was at peace whenever they went in to do the surgery. And I think that's God working. Good. Okay. And then Alice says, "Do you remember the time when we didn't have mics?" And I said, "Yeah, I guess everybody must have been George's or Henry's and David's." I know, it was bad. It was bad. Okay. Open your Bibles to, before I get stoned to death, open your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark. We're still in chapter 1, but we're making progress, okay? We're moving along. And I like this passage. I like kind of the way... Yeah, Mark has a different style of writing, if you've noticed. It seems like everything's immediate. Kind of, it's just like there's not a lot of flower to this. It's not... He doesn't put in a lot of fluff details, if you want to put it that way. He just kind of gets right out and just says it. Just boom. This is the way it is, he says, okay? And in verse 14 of Mark, chapter 1, verse 14, he says, "After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." And as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. And without delay he called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Let's pray. Father, I pray that as we spend this time just here looking at the life of Jesus as recorded by Mark and thinking about his conversations and his preaching, God, that we will be able to hear him speak to our hearts. And the same call that he has had on others, may he call to us. May we hear his voice. May we respond and yield ourselves to him. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, I like this way, the way this is phrased. You know, Jesus came to John the Baptist. He was baptized by John the Baptist. And the scripture says earlier in there in Mark, he says immediately he went out into the desert, into the wilderness, okay, and there he was tempted. So he was there in the wilderness for 40 days, okay? As it says afterwards the angels came and ministered to him and cared for him during that time. And Jesus now, after he has finished this time of testing, and we realized last week as we talked about it, that part of that was symbolic in the sense that it showed that Jesus had victory over Satan and victory over death. And again, it was proclaimed upon the resurrection, the same truth, that Jesus has the victory over death. And we see Jesus, or John, or Mark, I'll get the guy right. We'll see Mark. Maybe it was Mike. I don't know. You saw Mark there record the fact that at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he had victory over Satan. And at the end of Jesus' ministry on this earth, he had victory. Now, Jesus is still ministering. He's before the Father and his throne. He intercedes on the behalf of you, me. He's still involved and still doing the work of the Father. Okay? But here we find that this victory kind of sandwiches his entire ministry. The victory on one and on both ends, okay? And so here now Christ, following that time, he goes out. It tells us that John the Baptist got arrested. Mark doesn't spend a lot of time talking about the story of John the Baptist here, at least at this point. And he says simply that John was arrested, okay? Jesus then comes from there in Judea. The wilderness was there. He had come down from Galilee. The scripture says he came down, headed south, down to nearby Jerusalem, Judea, in that area, went into the wilderness that was outside of Jerusalem, outside of Jericho probably, and near the Dead Sea. And there that's where the temptation occurs. Now, it says in Mark, in the NIV, it translates it this way. It says, after John was put in prison, Jesus did what? He went into Galilee. There's something about that little verb, that word that's translated, went, okay? If you look in other translations, and it's about 50-50 in the way they choose to translate this. Some of them use that term, went. They translate the verb as went. In a sense, it's really to become. It's a root related to the word come, okay? So the translation, a direct translation, would be Jesus came, okay? That Jesus came into Galilee. And you think about it. There's just a subtle difference between those two words. And I find it interesting because of Mark's style of writing that he chose to use that word, which would, to you and me, be translated as came. I like that translation better than went. The kind of went is well, he just kind of went away. But came says something different. It's came says Jesus came to Galilee. Here we are. And I think the point is this. Just like every one of us experiences God in a different way, the begins when Jesus comes to us personally. That Jesus must come and reveal himself to each and every one of us. And just like he went and came to Galilee to reveal himself there in Galilee and begin his ministry of preaching and proclaiming the kingdom of God, Jesus comes to each one of us to proclaim the word of God, to proclaim the gospel, to proclaim the kingdom of God has come. And I just find it a very subtle difference. And you know what? Jesus, when he comes into our life, it's never, it's not like he forces himself in, but it's there. It's kind of like in your face. He when he presents himself, you know he's there. Okay? He came into our life. I think of Revelation chapter 3, where it says, and Jesus was knocking at the door. You know, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man open the door, I will come into him and sup with him. Jesus comes to our door, and he begins to knock. And it's a persistent knock. It announces his presence. He says, I'm here. I'm ready to meet with you. I want to come in. I want to come in. And this is the thing that Jesus does. And when Jesus comes into your life, it's never subtle. You know, I think about my own experience. I don't know how much detail I've told you in the past about my conversion experience, but I was actually only 12 years old. Hadn't quite got to my 13th birthday, okay? But in the typical child fashion, I'm almost 13, okay? So, 13. I was about a 13-year-old, and I came there, and I had went to a conference with the kids from our church. And my mom hates it every time I tell this, because the reason why I went was to get away from mom and dad for a week, okay? They're just like a 13-year-old. Mom comes and says, Curtis, the church is going to do this thing. Do you want to go? Yeah! Does that mean I don't have a parent for 2 weeks? Yeah! Give it to me. So I wanted to go, all right? And at that point in my life, there was a lot of struggles. I was already kind of associating with people that were doing things that weren't the best. You know, I had already followed many wrong paths, tried out many things that I shouldn't have tried. I'd been involved with very selfish thoughts and attitudes in my life and the way I chose to live. The world was revolving around Curtis O'Brien, and if you didn't like it, you needed to change, okay? It was about me. I was extremely self-centered. Some, my wife will tell you I haven't changed that part, but I very self-centered in the way I lived, okay? And I was not very considerate of others. I went to that conference that week. I just was looking to have a good time. But there at that conference, people began presenting the message of Jesus Christ and saying, look how Christ impacted this family. And it was because he had impacted this person and they had loved. They had showed love. And I began to see how Christ coming into people's lives made changes and made a difference. And I began to see that God was calling every one of us to follow him in that fashion. And as when that final night came, as the preacher stood there, I can't tell you for sure exactly what he preached about, but I know as he gave that invitation, you know, I stood there and I listened. And it was almost to me as if Jesus was there and he said, Curtis, come, follow me. I want you to follow me. And I said, yes. Yes. And even though I had gone to church previously, even though I had been baptized previously, even though I was technically a church member previously, it was there that I was saved. It was at that moment in that time where I said yes to Jesus Christ and I chose to change and follow him. It was there that God revealed himself to me. And the point is here that Jesus came into my life at that time. He came, just like Jesus came to Galilee, and Jesus is just as Jesus comes into your life. He stands at the door now, knocking. Can I come in? I want to dine with you. I want to fellowship with you. That's what he said to me. Curtis, follow me. Come with me, that we might fellowship together. And I find it very, very important. And you know, he said the same thing elsewhere. If you remember the passages that we read, he first encountered Peter and Andrew. And he said to them, what was it he said to them? He said, come, follow me. And later, he said the same thing to John and James. Come, follow me. And when Christ comes and presents himself to us, we're left with the choice, guys. Either we choose to follow him or we choose to serve ourselves. And you make a decision. Now, I made a decision back, whatever it is, 55 years ago now, 56, 8, I don't know, whatever, however many it is. Years ago, I made that decision, okay? I made a decision to follow him. But you know what? That didn't stop on that day. Because Jesus says, if any man comes after him, he must take up his cross daily. Daily. It's a daily thing. Every time we get up in the morning, we have to again say, Christ, today I choose to follow you. And as we go through that day and we're confronted with an experience and we can choose to either serve ourselves or to serve Christ, we have to say, Christ, I choose to follow you. Sometimes I make it. Sometimes I don't. But then I renew it and I say, yes, forgive me again. Bring that cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Wash me again. Put on the robes of righteousness that I have through Christ and help me to follow you again. Christ is calling for each one of us to do that. Now he goes on and as it talks about Mark here, he says, the time has come. The time has come. that what he's talking about there, and sometimes we think, oh, he's saying the time. Okay, it must be 1 o'clock, or, you know, it must be, we think of it as social, as a spatial thing, a set time. But that's not what Jesus is, or Mark is referring to as he speaks about Jesus' preaching. Here he says the time has come. In other words, the fullness. Everything has culminated. It's all been brought together, and the situation now is ready. It's kind of like you're baking some fudge. You guys like fudge? Yeah. I used to watch my parents make fudge at Christmas time, and they had a special, we had fudge that was just kind of like sugar sugar and milk and cocoa that we had during, my parents would make that all the time. You know, that was a treat that we'd have. But then on Christmas time, oh, that's when the good stuff came out, okay? And it included marshmallows and walnuts and all sorts of stuff in the fudge that it wasn't normally included, okay? And it would be take time, and they'd have to melt down I guess they started with the chocolate chips. I don't remember all the details, but they'd start with the chocolate chips, and they'd add in the marshmallows, and they'd have to keep stirring as it warmed up and melted, and butter, lots of butter. I remember the butter, and I don't know all the other stuff that they added into there, but it began to form together, and then they poured into the plates, into the bowls, and let it begin to cool. But see, you had to wait until the fullness of time, until everything was there, cooked together, till all the ingredients had been melted, all of them had blended together before you could pour it into the dish. In the fullness of time. In the time here, the time had come. Jesus was proclaiming, it is now the time, that now is the time I'm coming and preaching to you. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. It's the fullness of time when Christ comes and speaks to you. He comes and he knocks on that door because it's time. It's the appointed time. I can't tell you how long he's going to knock. I don't know that. But he's coming, and if you hear him knocking on that door, I suggest you answer it. I suggest that you open the door and say, yes, I will follow you. Come and let us sup together. Because I don't know. I know there's a fullness of time. And if you cook it too long, what happens? It begins to crystallize, and it doesn't become the fudge that you wanted to be. Wanted it to be. Same thing is true with the gospel message. And Jesus said, the kingdom of God has come near. And he gives us this message. He says, repent and believe the good news. Repent. We've talked about repentance before. Repentance is simply a change of mind. It's the baptism that John preached. It's the message he gave. He says, you guys have been thinking about this thing with God all wrong. You need to change the way you're looking at it. He says, you think that you can earn your salvation because that's what they were talking about. They followed the laws, the rituals that were laid down. They washed their hands the right way. They did all the things they thought they needed to do. And today, we may not follow the same rituals, but we follow the same mindset. Today, people are thinking, if I can only act good enough, if I can only do this right, if I can only cross all my T's and dot all my I's, then I'll get to heaven. And he says, you're thinking about it wrong because it's not based upon your works. Repent. Change the way you're thinking. Change your mind. Change your direction. You're walking away from God. You need to change the direction, turn back, and head back to God. Go by what he says, not by what you believe. How many of us look at the scripture, we read it, and they say, well, that sounds good, but I believe. Yeah, and we put that but in there. It's what I want to believe, not what the Bible says. So he comes out, and Jesus says, repent first. You got to change your mind. You got to think about this differently. And then he says this. He says, you got to believe the good news. Believe the good news. And you think, okay, what's the good news? The stock market just went up 50,000 points. Is that the good news? What's the good news? The good news is simply, it's what was proclaimed to the shepherds the night Jesus was born. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. And he's not talking about the cessation of wars. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the relationship between you and God. He says, you're an enemy with God, and here now is peace. The battle is over. You're no longer his enemy. You've been brought into the family. The penalty has been paid for the battle. You're no longer in that place as an enemy. God's bringing you peace. Goodwill. No longer is God holding us accountable for the sins in the same way that has been done in the past. Now, God has reconciled us to Christ, and when we accept his forgiveness, when we receive his blood covering us, when we recognize that he has paid the penalty, and we agree to that changed life, then the salvation of God is imparted to us, and we are now in a restored relationship. The good news is peace with God. The good news is reconciliation. The good news is forgiveness of sins. The good news is grace has been given to you, that we and each of you can give grace to others. How many people are consumed with bitterness and hatred because somebody has offended them? Because somebody has harmed them? I mean, think about this young man. Alex. And the stories that he told about watching his parents killed, watching his grandparents killed, watching people. Who would have a right to be angry? And yet he received grace from God. And he was able to give that grace and forgiveness to those who had harmed him and his family. That's part of what the good news is. Because we have received forgiveness, we're now in a position where we can give forgiveness to others and share that love. So Jesus says, repent and believe the gospel. Believe the good news. Believe that the kingdom of God has come and is now at your door. And all you need to do is open the door to say yes to Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads. Jesus, you present a very direct message here. You have come in the fullness of time to each of us, and you've come here today in the fullness of time. And the message is simple. Believe the gospel. Believe the gospel. And I pray, God, that today every one of us can believe that. Receive into our hearts the forgiveness that you've offered. Receive the grace, receive the mercy, receive the peace that you've offered to us. Receive the very presence of your Spirit. Father, I don't know every person here in their personal relationship with you. But Father, I pray that if there's a single individual here who has not said yes to you yet, that today they will say, yes, I choose to follow Christ. Yes, today I choose to receive his forgiveness. With your heads bowed, with your eyes closed, if you've heard Christ today knocking on your door, and he's saying to you, come follow me. He's saying to you, open your door that I can come into you. And you want to say, yes, Christ, I want you in my life. I want you here. And this may be because you've closed that door. Maybe at some time in your past you said yes to Christ, but you've walked away from that. And you need to renew it and say, no, God, I was wrong then. I want to restore that relationship. If you need to say yes to Christ in any way today, then I want you to raise your hand. Just put it up and put it back down. You can do that quietly there and just say yes to him. Thank you. Anybody else? To say yes to Christ. Let's pray. And if you've raised your hand, or whether it's still just in your heart that you want to say yes to Christ, then pray this prayer. Jesus, I know that I've gone my own way, and I've walked against you. But today I choose to change my direction. I want to turn and follow you. I pray that you'll come in to my life and you'll show your grace and forgiveness to me.